Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, good evening. I am Carlotta Waldman, and I am so glad that you joined us tonight. We love having the interaction. In fact, tonight we're going to encourage more interaction rather than having a totally separate teaching for 30 or 40 minutes. I'm going to be trying to watch the switchboard at the same time and see if some of you have some things you would like to interject. Not take over, you know, but comments, questions, because we're going to be talking about what to do with the prophetic insights that you get. You know, sometimes the Bible is clear, like in Corinthians 12 and 14, that God will reveal to us what's in people's hearts. And what does he want us to do with that? Why does he tell us things that they haven't even told us? Why does he reveal things that, you know, might help them, but they're not even asking for our help sometimes? What if we know more about their issues than they do when they actually ask for our counsel or prayer or ministry? And then why does God tell us things long before he wants us to do anything? Because you may have experienced, like I have, that sometimes he shows you something that really needs healing or really needs freedom, but he says, but don't say anything. And you ask, well, what do I do then? Well, pray. But don't say anything. Or stand in the gap. Or maybe through prayer, you can love the person, but start tearing down the stronghold with your spiritual power and authority in Christ, and you'll never even have to meet with them. You know, it's not necessary for people to even know that we're the ones praying for them or that we have any insight into their business at all. I'm sure many, many people have prayed for me without me knowing it, and I'm ever so grateful. I've even gone to thank people, you know, before for their prayers because I had this insight that they were praying for me, but I didn't, you know, they didn't actually come up and ask permission. Now, I'm a real big one on having permission if I'm actually going to get into the area of giving counsel, and I try not to get into the area of giving advice at all. I want people to learn how to hear God for themselves and to have that confidence of knowing that they know that they know that they heard God. On the other hand, there are prophetic people around us that oftentimes have very, very valuable insights, and we're instructed, like in James, to pray for one another that you yourselves would be healed. In Luke 6, there are lots of verses that have insights into why we even ask God if we have areas that still need more healing and freedom. It talks about checking your foundation, not being introspective or analytic, but just asking God, are there any cracks in my foundation that need healing? And I remember the first time I received prophetic ministry in 1992, I was scared spitless of what people might know, what God might have already told them, maybe more than I wanted them to know. I had quite a flowery history. I say I was the woman at the well because I made a lot of big mistakes and the same ones over and over. And I wasn't a prostitute or anything, but I was not wanting it to be shouted from the pulpit either. You know what I mean? And so I really respected their prophetic protocol that they had permission. They would only say things that were edifying, consoling, encouraging in public. But what if you go for prophetic counseling, or what I mean is some kind of restoration prayer ministry with a person who does hear God's voice, is prophetic? What if God tells them things that even you don't know? What if you tell them things you didn't mean to tell them? And so I wrote an article on Facebook today because I just wanted to share with you that maybe you're just starting out in this area or, you know, maybe haven't experienced some of these same things, just to let you know what you might experience and what people might do, what God might do. But I also want to encourage you to call in and share your insights just briefly. You know, you can say a lot in a minute or two, and it can really edify the body of Christ. You can call in to 917-388-4683 if you've got a question, for instance, that goes along with what we're saying. We don't want to completely change the thread here, you know, to a different subject. But, for instance, at least half the time, I would say, when people make real appointments with me for Restoration Prayer Ministry, they, first of all, most people start talking about surface issues. That's just how we all are. The most common line that there is people will come in and they'll say, I would be fine if so-and-so would straighten up their act. They see that their spouse or their children or their parents or their boss or their pastor or whoever is really stirring up a lot of things in their life, maybe hurt or disappointment or not confident in them or maybe falsely accusing them or whatever. And so most people start off talking about surface issues and surface symptoms. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have to explain what's going on. But even if we're doing topical ministry and we're not doing the whole life history like I'm most known for, people will start off talking about those things, but they may also have decided, I'm not going to tell her about these other things. You know, they want to select what they're ready to talk about. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes, just the gift of counsel in you or in me just draws things out of them that they didn't plan on saying. Like, I didn't really plan on talking about this today, but... And they wind up telling you more than they plan to tell you. Did you know that sometimes people can become a little bit afraid of you? Like if they say, I've never told anybody this in my life, and then they proceed to tell you. I'm going to give you a lot of helpful hints tonight that you can pray about. I usually stop them right there and say, if you have never told anybody in your whole life, I want you to know that you don't have to tell me either. Why do I do that? Because I want them to be sure they want to tell me, because I don't want them to be afraid of me and avoid me from then on. I want them to be sure that they trust me with that confidence. Or they can know that they could actually wait till a later date. They don't have to share it today if they're not sure they want to. Some people will even treat you like you're the problem if you hear what they're saying. For instance, a lot of times we share things and we're just talking, you know, we don't really get the gravity of it ourselves. And maybe the prophet or the counselor or the pastor does. And so even though they're just repeating back to us what we've said, we're like, well, you weren't supposed to hear it that well. Or they may think that we're judging them. I said, no, I'm not judging you. I'm just repeating back what you told me or what you told me last time. And here's the thing. When people come in for anything like counseling, some kind of restoration prayer or to talk about one topic or an issue, they often are very ambivalent about it, and it's good for us to know that. So I hope you'll take notes tonight or be looking at the article that I put on Facebook, because it's important to know that our gift can draw people out, cause them to almost say things they don't want to, even though we're not even asking them about it. I can't tell you how many people have just met me in the grocery store or something, started telling me their life story back to birth. It's just a gift of counsel. But what can happen is they can regret that, or they can be angry at themselves for saying too much, or fearful that they've said too much, fearful of being rejected, fearful of being considered a failure because they've made these mistakes, things like that. And so why are people so conflicted about being real? Well, they've experienced things just like you and I have. If you want to call in and share something, you're welcome to. You know, sometimes we get angry at ourselves when we're too open because we didn't mean to talk about but one issue, and we don't really want to talk about it the next time we get together either, because we may be afraid now that we'll be rejected if we really tell more about it, or be concerned that people will look down on us because we're not all tall and finished and perfect. But that person may be the same person that was just calling you last week. It was desperate for an appointment. And now they may back off from you a little bit. And you've got to realize, you've got to allow people to go slowly. Even if God has prophetically already revealed to you not only what they're saying, but maybe the background to it or the root causes of it, things like that. So there are many answers to why a person would make an appointment and then be afraid of your prophetic ability to minister to them, to understand, to find root causes. People are generally pretty ambivalent. They'll ask for help but not be too sure about being in a situation where they are not in control. They can't control how much God tells you, and they don't even know how much God tells you. And so here we are. We're all trying to be okay, you know, we want to get our act together and all those kind of phrases. But on the other hand, if we go to someone for help, they may give us insights that are a surprise to us. You know, we really didn't know. Or we may hear things coming out of our own mouth where we confess to certain doubts and fears or even believing some lies of the enemy that we weren't consciously believing. We didn't know that. We may even find out that we've been disobedient to God and have forgotten about it or not know it or things like that. And so a lot of things can happen in a situation where you're in a like counseling-like situation and somebody gets you talking. But there are many reasons some people, well, first of all, nobody's all healed when they come for ministry. And they don't have a complete grasp of what their major issues are, or they probably wouldn't be there. They would have already gotten somebody to pray it through with them. And secondly, most people are so desperate to avoid more pain, rejection, disapproval, and things like that, that they want to make sure if you really love them unconditionally and accept them before they tell you too much. So the burden is on us not to just hear God's voice. That's the easy part. It's to somehow, out loud probably, communicate to that person that our intent is to love and accept them unconditionally no matter what. And then thirdly, most people don't understand their issues themselves until they talk about it with someone. We're just geared like that. Most of us, even if we're not talkers, it's not till we start talking about it out loud that we really get, oh, this is how the devil's been lying to me. Or why do I believe people when they tell me rejecting things like that? Or why am I so afraid still of authority figures and here I am in my 30s, 40s, or 50s? You know why? And so first thing to know is that when you're ministering prophetically, or in a counseling situation or pastoral counseling, that everybody almost is ambivalent. They want to be there, yet they'd rather not need it. And so they might try to look like they don't have any major issues, and most probably they will test the water, so to speak, with some minor issues and see if you come down on them, if you condemn them, if you're legalistic, if you just, you know, kind of beat them up with the Bible, or if you really have a gift of understanding and counsel and can love them. And, you know, most people, crazy as it seems, are really afraid of admitting that they're not perfect. Now, only Jesus is. But still, a lot of people actually weren't raised in homes where they talk in negativity. they try to always present themselves in a positive light. So it's not easy for them to share their greatest weakness or their biggest need. And they may come in, they may joke around some, they may make light of things. It's important for us also, when people laugh when they're describing their greatest hurts, this is the one time you don't laugh with them. You listen attentively, you listen lovingly, but you don't. You know, if they're kind of nervous and have a nervous laugh when they're describing great hurts, don't laugh with them. See, all the way back to Adam and Eve, there was a stronghold of shame, fear, and control. And in one way or another, concerning certain things in our lives, most of us have grown up hiding some kind of weakness in our life for fear of shame or being considered a failure or somebody condemning us. And so when you expect that, you can kind of see people through those kind of glasses. And so that's why when we're prophesying to people, we have to be so careful to ask God how to deliver it. What is his heart? Are we just prophesying a problem, or are we prophesying a solution? Are we prophesying the wonderful results of what God wants to do in their life? And we certainly don't want to be prophesying that God's disappointed in them and he's condemning them and he's had it with them or anything like that. Because some people are really expecting that. They've been abused and they're expecting that. But whatever we do, we don't want to start off our ministry, personal ministry or counseling with them, expecting them to withhold information. We don't want to expect them to, even though I've warned you that people might do this, it's like, know it, but don't expect it. Don't expect that they're automatically going to blame somebody else, that they're going to be defensive if you try to, you know, I don't even try to tell people the truth, to tell you the truth. I never give people a list, this, this, and this is what I see that's wrong with you. I never do that. But what they may do is reveal what their family patterns are for coping with failure or weakness, because you may see them start to kind of minimize it or deny it. You know, everybody does that sooner or later about something. And they may have been so wounded by other people that have tried to help them that they may not tell you their major issues, only the minor. I'm repeating that again because I want you to know this doesn't mean that they're withholding from you. They're actually trying to find out if they can have confidence in you. Or like, I'll give you the smaller thing. We'll see how you do with that. You know, can you really hear God about this? So on the other hand, a lot of people just aren't ready to talk about everything. They may not be able to trust very well. They may be used to having to perform for people's acceptance, and they're seeing if they have to do that with you. They may be fearful of being real in general. They may have inner vows not to tell, talk, trust, or, you know, share, be real. They may not even be conscious of their main issues. Now, this is where I want to pause, because it probably half the people that come to me don't know what their root causes and issues are. They start out talking about surface causes and issues because that's what they know. That's what they know. They have trouble keeping a job, and no matter how long, how hard they work, they can't keep a job for more than a year. There are root causes to that, but the reason they're there is because they don't know. And so we're happy to hear God, and what I say is that we need to hear God in order to ask them the right questions. Well, do you have, you know, how long has this been going on? Are other people in your family dealing with the same thing? Have you had employers judge you and put you down, you know, or have you judged and put them down, you know, and you just, one of the wonderful things about being prophetic is that you can hear the right questions to ask so that it comes out of their mouth. I write copious notes quoting them because I don't want it to ever be my judgment, my false accusation. I don't want to ever put words in people's mouth. I want to ask them questions and hear them say it. Why? Because the devil keeps records on us, and he goes to that courtroom in heaven. And he says, but they said, they're in agreement with me that they'll never make more than $12,000 a year, whatever it is. you know, and he's got this written down. So the reason I want to ask questions rather than tell people things is also because I want to get the direct quotes from them so we can renounce it and take that legal permission away from the devil. But a lot of people are unknowingly bound to secrecy, to keep secrets in their life, because at some point in their history, they made a fleshly inner vow that they would never tell anybody about this. Or they made a fleshly inner vow to never talk, share, be real, be open. And many times they've forgotten this, and they don't know why it's so hard. I mean, I've had people cry, trying to tell me things, cry for a couple of hours and couldn't spit it out. They know what they wanted to say, and they just couldn't make themselves share it because they were so afraid. Other people have been so continuously abused as children or young people, and that person told them, if you talk, I'll kill your mother, for instance, if they'll have an inner vow that they won't talk either, and they can't talk about the abuse. It's not that they're trying to be obstinate and difficult. It's that they can't. But probably at least half the people that I've worked with don't remember the main trauma in detail. They can only remember a slight glimpse of it. They wonder if it was a dream or whatever, because little children have this awesome survival mechanism that God put in them to be able to block out the thing that hurt them most so they can survive. They can get on. They can be a child. They can go to school. But the trouble is they might be in their 30s or 40s before they finally remember. It doesn't mean they suppressed it consciously. It means that's how they survived, and it's really something that God puts in little children that they can forget the worst things, at least for a couple decades. But there are some people, and this is what I want to make you aware of. It is absolutely amazing, like pastors may come for prophetic ministry, not even counseling, but prophetic ministry, and they're in ongoing adultery, and they'll come thinking that you won't know it. And then you got to ask God, of course, am I supposed to tell them that I know? And number one, I wouldn't in public at all. Second, I would ask them, I think God's showing me something that has been a serious difficulty in your life. Do you want me to tell you what it is, or would you rather not? And I have had a pastor call me later even and say, God was showing you something about me, wasn't he? I say, yes, and they do want me, I mean, do you want to tell me now? And with this one that was in ongoing adultery, I said, no. I said, you know what it is. You know, all that's necessary is for you to respond to God. Of course, I would have loved to pray with him in the power of an agreement, but I could sense that he wasn't really ready. He just wanted to ask me if I knew. Well, see, some of us are, we think we're really super motivated to get right with God. When it gets right down to it, we still want to cover up. So they may be pretending that they're okay or they're right with God. And but some people will come that are using, you know, this, I'm happy to say, hasn't happened very often, but you need to be aware of it. I've had people come to me that were required to come by a judge, and they weren't really there to admit to anything. Others, maybe their children were taken away and are in foster care or something. They can't get them back till they go to counseling, and they want me to sign off saying they're okay now, which was definitely not the case and not going to happen because they weren't sincere. I'm happy to report that a year later that person did become sincere. God met them there, and they are doing much better now. But at the time that they saw me, they needed to know that I know that you're not really here to get help, and you need to know that I'm not going to sign off any letter to a judge saying that you're fine now. Also, some people just want to add you to their resume or hope that you'll give them a good reference or a leg up to some promotion they want. And so they just want to add you to the names they can drop. So we need to be aware of people can have different motivations. Now, here's the key. Do not fall into Satan's trap to be judgmental toward those people, even if their motivation is not right. Okay? for then the devil has set a snare for your feet and succeeded. You can ask them questions. I love to ask questions. That's my big thing I'm good at. I can ask them questions. Why are you here? You know, was it required of you? What are you hoping to get out of this? I even have that on the application. See, most people say they want to be right with God. Some people say, I want my children back, and I want you to tell the judge I came for counseling. You know, but there's some people that really don't know how to be open and honest, and they have a habit of changing the subject. Now, what if you're prophetic and God has told you already what the main issues are? Then we need to ask God some questions. Okay, you've revealed this person's heart to me. That means you've trusted me with this information. I want to be trustworthy of it and a good steward of it. Now, do you want me to just know it? Do you want me to intercede? Do you want me to tear down strongholds? Do you want me to mention anything to them? Do you want me to even ask any questions, or shall we let them lead the way? Now, as weak as it may sound, I have a lot of questions that I ask everybody. But in a way, I want them to lead the way. And what I mean by that is not that I just follow them all over creation and waste the time. It's that I want to let that person determine how deep into this subject they're ready to go. Because a lot of people will hurry over the most hurtful things in their life. And then I have to ask the Holy Spirit, do you want us to back up and let them know that it's okay to spend more time and to pour out their heart to God and to ask for healing right now? Or do you want me to let them gloss over it for right now because they've got to get to know me a lot better before we know there? That's two possibilities right there. When you're prophetic, sometimes you know the background to a thing and sometimes you don't. Like when you all call in for personal prophetic ministry, usually, you know, just taking caller after caller, I don't even have time. You know, God hasn't taken time to show me the background. I'm just prophesying sentences that I really don't know how they apply to your life, and I'm just happy with you when you know. But in counseling, sometimes God will show me this is that. And if you have studied the Bible, and if you have read important books of insights like John Sanford's books or gone to our NowFaith.tv ministry training school that's loaded with insights that will be very valuable to you if you ever think you're going to be praying for people on any level. Many times God will refer to one of those teachings. For instance, maybe this person has suffered childhood abuse and he won't have me prophesy that about that to them in public. But he might tell me privately, this is the background to this prophecy. It's not a general prophecy. This will mean a lot to them. They really need it because they have a history of abuse. But other people are changing the subject on purpose. They do know what the main issues are, and they have no intentions of going there. And there's different ways that you can change the subject. I'll just mention two. They might try to sidetrack you onto an issue that's not the main issue, it's just a side issue. And that way, they can safely share about that, and you can feel good that you ministered to that. And you may not even know that they changed the subject and completely steered you away from what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. Secondly, a lot of times it's good to let them do that for a session or two because they're testing the waters, and they're trying you out to see if you can minister with compassion on little things before they give you big things. But another way they might sidetrack you is they may talk about happy things, things that they're successful at, their bright future, and especially if it's a topic that you enjoy too, they might be trying to establish some common ground with you, but they know they can keep you going on that subject, and hopefully you will never come back to the main issue that they should be talking about. Okay? Does that make sense? So some people throw you what we call a red herring. It's like they'll toss you this golden apple. You'll be so busy catching that and running with that that you won't even notice that they just dodged a discussion on the main thing that they need healing of or freedom from or deliverance. So you may finish that session thinking all went well, and they may go home and think, well, thank God I fooled them, you know, that I got them off that subject. I sure don't want to admit to that or talk about that. Now, if you have some other tips on what happens when you have insights that don't seem to match up with the person saying, I'd love you to call in to 917-388-4683. And I have a lot of callers right now, so I just want to remind you that what you have to do so that I know you have something to contribute, to ask, to comment on, or questions to ask, you have to push the number 1 on your phone, and that makes a little hand actually go up on my switchboard. And I know that you're not just listening, that you have something to ask or share or to comment on. Now, if you want to just call and listen, you can do that safely. Or if you push 1 by mistake, you can push it again. It will take you out of the queue, and I won't call on you. But I hope to hear from some of you tonight, because I know that a lot of you have valuable experiences. All I ask is that you don't mention any names or tell any stories that are so specific that somebody might know you're talking about them to the whole planet. Okay, so here's the thing. It's important to wait on the Holy Spirit's timing to address root issues. And the main way I do that is I ask people questions and I wait for the Holy Spirit to show them the answers. And I tend to go with, I try to go with whatever the Holy Spirit is showing them. So they may start off talking about surface issues and surface causes, but then after I ask them a few questions, they may be able to come out with the root issues and maybe even the root causes. And so as I'm, you know, seek to express God's heart, his compassion, and to do it gently, then that person may be able to actually verbalize, well, you know, I think I never was able to trust people. Because this happened to me when I was little or before I was born, or because my family didn't teach me how to trust God. I've never known how to. Something like that. Or defensive people often already have a good excuse for their sinful reactions and sinful behaviors. Then they try to convince you that you should sympathize with them. Well, of course I hated them. Look how they treated me. Look how they neglected me. And we have to be careful that even though God may have shown us how horrific it was, that we don't give anybody the impression that they're exempt from repenting for their own sin, their own part in it. So that one of the questions is this person trying to sidetrack me on purpose? If they are, it still doesn't mean they're a bad person. It may be that they're too afraid of rejection right now to be transparent. That they're too afraid that you'll think they're a failure, or that they'll be disqualified from, you know, operating in their gifts or something if they admit they have a problem. And they may be blaming other people or actually trying to confuse you about who is at fault, only telling you part of the story. Or some people just talk too much. They're afraid to do anything but just talk. They're so nervous that they can't get down to what they feel. Then there's people like me. When I was in the middle of some extremely tough times in my own life, I had difficulty coming into a counseling session just like cold turkey and getting in touch with my feelings. And I would tell them that, you know, today I'm feeling pretty up and I'm not really in touch with it. On the other hand, if somebody had just pushed my button or hurt me again, then I could just pour it all out. So it doesn't mean that I was trying to be difficult. It's just not always easy. And so, first of all, we're not ever judging their motives, no matter what it is, for not being transparent. But also, I suggest writing down quotes. Write down quotes of what they're able to recognize right now as far as their issues or maybe even the causes of them. They may have a serious stronghold and not know why, and they've prayed, and it may not be until that day or the next week that God shows them the serious hurt or trauma that they felt and why they decided it was okay to medicate with drugs or with alcohol, or why it was okay not to, forgive people or whatever. So in summary, most people, consciously or unconsciously, will try to lead you away from their main issues because they don't trust you, because they're not sure you know how to deal with it either, that it's important for them to fake it till they make it. Now, that's just a natural phrase, but a whole lot of the body of Christ does not believe that the Christian life really works. I knew I grew up hardly knowing anybody whose Christian life I envied. And I was on a hunt, a search, to find out how do you make this Christian life work, because I was just doing the best I can, but it wasn't really up to standard a lot of times. And I certainly wasn't getting free of the cycles in my own life. And I was a Christian in mental health too. So I suggest that when we're prophesying to people, doing personal ministry, praying with people, or counseling people, one, we have their permission. Two, we only go as far in discussing things as they're comfortable going, because that's probably a big indicator of where the Holy Spirit's working in their life. A lot of times if a person has just had an awesome insight from the Holy Spirit, say they've had a dream and God has just showed them, that somebody really hurt you as a child and they framed you and accused you and, you know, beat you up on the playground or whatever, sometimes they'll just rush in telling those things. But there's other things that might bring shame with it, because they might say, well, I was playing doctor with somebody and they framed me and said that they would tell everybody if I didn't, you know, serve them forever. I've actually, you know, heard things like that. And so they are so full of shame that to this day, 30, 40, 50 years later, they're afraid to tell it. Other people have done something that they know is disobedience to God, and they have so little concept of any authority figure or minister even forgiving them, pronouncing them forgiven, that they've never told anybody. You would be amazed what a high percentage of people who have had abortions have never told anybody, because even though the people nearest them may say, well, of course God has forgiven you, honey, and of course your baby's fine now and things like that, still when abortion is mentioned in a public setting or in a sermon or on the news, they still feel condemned and they just don't want to deal with it. And so how can they find someone who hears God but also can minister God's heart? And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, because we can always be, wrong. We can only hear part of the story. Even God says he only tells his prophets. We only hear in part. We don't know everything. So I say it's best to just focus on loving them and trying to build trust, because once they can understand that we have their best interest at heart, that even with what God has told us, we're not going to blurt it out or force them to talk about it, that it's their choice how much and how far they talk about things, and then we can start really showing them that Jesus loves and accepts them unconditionally, and actually he died to take this rejection or pain or suffering or trauma or guilt. He died for that reason. He's not amazed, surprised, he's not disappointed. So once we realize that God knows everything about us, he loves us anyway, and that if they can understand that I want to too and believe it, even though I'm fallible and make mistakes too, then we just have the challenge of knowing that if I refuse to talk about what God has revealed to me, maybe a memory has come to light and I'm shocked that I had this happen to me or that I did this wrong thing. If I refuse to talk about it, then that just ensures that I have to keep the pain, because only Jesus can take that pain from us. And if we refuse to let anybody pray with us, we don't get as far. Why? It's because the Bible says to confess our sins one to another that we may be healed. We were hurt by people, most likely, but we're also healed through the ministry of other people. It's something about letting people pray for us and with us that brings the healing that takes away that pain. Now, we may still have a memory. We'll probably still have the wisdom from that experience. But if we keep it all a secret, then we're not really letting somebody come with to Jesus with us in the power of agreement and bringing that pain to Jesus. And he can't heal us fully in the way he wants to if we refuse to let anybody pray with us about it. On the other hand, there's always the opposite person. There's the person that talks nervously the whole time. They're either talking maybe to get attention, because that's all they know to do, or they think they can talk it to death, or they've been to secular counseling where that's all you had was to try to talk it out, or they have a misconstrued idea of what positive confession is. Some people just wear themselves out making positive confessions, not knowing that if you've never repented, you've never renounced whatever it is, that the positive confession is not going to work. It's like trying to put a Band-Aid on a slimy, dirty, wet wound. You've got to clean it and dry it first. And so in order to get the healing that people really want, they've got to be willing to admit to and confess their sin. Not so that we can condemn them, reject them, or judge them. They've got to be willing to come out of agreement with the devil that that was a good solution for the problem at the time, you know, drugs, alcohol, you know, cheating, whatever. They've got to come out of agreement with the devil into agreement with God. And here's another thing that I tell licensed psychologists or counselors from the secular world when I have an opportunity to speak. I tell them, doesn't matter how many doctorates you've got and how much experience and training, that God has a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. Whatever you sow, you will reap in like kind, more of it and later. And people may have forgotten all about it and call it the past, but if they have never repented of it, they're still due to reap it at some point. Now, here's where most Christians that comment on this get it wrong. They'll say, if it's the past, Paul said to leave the past behind. Well, that's only part of the truth. If you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you can't just choose to forget about it and get anywhere with God. If he's convicting you of unconfessed sin, or say maybe it's still a temptation, maybe it's not the past, maybe it's current. If God is convicting you of it, and you know you're guilty, you can't just say, well, I refuse to reap what I sowed. That doesn't work. Any more than if you had done shoplifting and you're caught on camera and it's been 2 years, you can't just tell the judge, well, I decided to forget about that, or I decided not to do that anymore, so therefore I'm not guilty. No, he's going to say, no, you're guilty. There's a price to be paid. You're going to have to do this sentence or this much community service or whatever. You need to at least admit before the judge that it's wrong to shoplift and you're sorry. Okay, but a lot of people have misunderstood. They've heard wrong teaching on that leave the past behind, and they think it means you don't even have to confess when you've been disobedient to God. It doesn't mean that. It means once you have confessed, receive the forgiveness that God's given you. Receive the freedom or healing, and then don't expect to be punished or something because you've already been forgiven. On the other hand, sometimes there are consequences that are ongoing, even if you've confessed your sin. For instance, if you were drunk and you were with people you shouldn't have been with and you got pregnant, no matter how many times you confess that, you'll still be pregnant, right? So what we need to do is to have a little bit of control of the counseling situation or something, so that people don't waste the whole time talking. they don't waste the whole time chasing down small things that aren't really why we're all here today for the Holy Spirit to minister to us, or they don't throw you these red herrings that are meant to totally distract you, or they don't just spend the time entertaining you with funny stories about their family or telling you of their successes or telling you of their bright prophetic future when they're really avoiding what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So here's the thing. It's all about hearing the Holy Spirit. I've had people that have their doctorates and whatever call me up and say, how do you do it? And I said, you hear the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you how far to go today. He'll help you listen with discernment to know what they're really wanting to discuss and what they're not. But then we still have to hear the Holy Spirit before the next session, because what they confessed to readily last time, they may not this time. And in my article on Facebook today, I explained that some people have different parts of them. They've dissociated, they have fragmented identities or even multiple personalities. And part of them may confess things to you readily and want forgiveness and be glad they got it off their chest and want freedom from the bondage or addiction or whatever it is. But there may be other parts of them that are not conscious of all that, because they've compartmentalized it so well, dissociated it from so well, that they don't even know it themselves. And so if you bring it up in the next session and say, well, you know, how are you doing? Are you really feeling forgiven for your whatever? And they'll go, what? I never would do anything like that. How dare you? Then you're like, oh, what do I do now? So we need to make sure that we've heard the Holy Spirit when we minister to people, that we know how much of it to say out loud. And if he says, wait on them to initiate or wait on them to bring up what they want prayer for, then we do that. The thing that I do the most is I ask them a bunch of questions. That's my big thing. Ask people questions. What's God showing you? You know, what do you believe the root issue of that is? Or what brought that up? How'd you get that lie into your head? I don't say why much, because that pressures people. But I'm going to stop now, and I want you to call in and share insights, because I'm always into learning how to hear God better and how to hear people better, you know, and how to minister, but how to let the Holy Spirit do it through me, not do what worked for somebody else, not do what worked last time, not do what I read in a book. But really hear the Holy Spirit. Where do you want to go today? And is that person ready? And here's the thing. If they're not ready, it doesn't mean they're bad in any kind of way. It just means they're not ready. And we need to wait on the Holy Spirit to make them right. Whatever that takes, either they're able to trust us or build up some confidence that we know what we're doing, whether they're able to trust God, whether they're able to get the courage together, whether they're able to see past their usual defenses and blaming other people into taking some responsibility for their own choice or their own part in it. Whatever it is, we need to go gently, because I say it's better to go too slow than too fast. Now, if you know me and you know how direct I am, you may say, oh, yeah, well, you still got a long way to go yourself, and I know that. I know that, but the people that hire me to minister to them usually are the people that want to get healed and they want to get free. And then it's just my responsibility to know what the Holy Spirit has told me, but then allow them to go there when they're ready. Does that make sense? Okay, now I need help, guys. You know, I cannot talk 2 hours straight. I need some of you, we have so many callers tonight, probably more than we've ever had, but I need some of you to push number one now. I need you to contribute some things, to ask a question. You can ask, what would I have done in a case? You know, hypotheticals are a little bit hard to deal with, but we'll ask God, you know. Okay, I'm going to take the first caller, and what I do, and by the way, I don't know what to do about the worship music, because I found out it sounded horrible last time, and I had uploaded it and done it right, you know, just like you're supposed to do. And I don't know why it sounded so horrible. I'm not sure. But until I understand more about why sometimes the music comes across great and sometimes it doesn't, maybe some of you can help me with that. Email me. I don't have a clue about these sound issues with Blog Talk Radio. So tonight I'm just going to depend on you to call in and share some things to give my voice a break. And we'll depend on the Holy Spirit to give us all the answers together. Amen. I'm going to call out your area code first, and then I'd appreciate if you give us your first name and just generally where you're from, just so we can relate to you a little bit. And then we want to hear what you have to say. Amen. Area code 516, welcome to the program.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, what's your name?
Audrey, how are you?
Audrey, I am actually doing better. Thank you all that have been praying for me. How are you, Audrey?
I'm okay. I just was, you know, enjoying listening, and I really don't have anything to add to it. I just was wondering, about a prophetic word, are you able to do that, or I haven't been on this word yet? So.
I am if God is. If God is, and it may or not be related to what we're talking about, and I hope those of you that have comments and questions, you know, we'll go there too. Anything's okay. All three are okay. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you that Audrey's leading the way here, calling in, and thank you for her courage. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have put healing in Audrey's hands and that you have been working throughout her lifetime to give her insights that will help other people learn the easy way. And I thank you, Lord, that you have committed yourself to redeeming every experience that she's had. And Audrey, there's some areas in your life that the devil wanted to hurt you and bring you harm, to limit you, to intimidate you, or to cause you, you know, to shrink back. But God says, I am here to redeem all those areas. And there may be still some areas, the Lord says, where you're consciously aware that it's hard for you to trust in those areas. But the Lord says, if you will bring me those things and say, fix my trust, O Lord, just fix me. And I want you to feel free to pour your heart out to me, the Lord says, and just tell me all about it. And even if you blamed me and wondered why I didn't appear to be there for you, the Lord says, tell me everything. David in the Psalms would just pour his heart out to me, and I had him write all those Psalms so that you would know it's okay. And the Lord says, I want you to just pour your heart out to me, and then I'm going to connect you with people that not only will listen to you, will know how to pray for you, will know how to minister healing and freedom, but they will also be instrumental in mentoring you if you will allow them. And they will help you know how to better pray for others. But the Lord says, never be afraid to pour your heart out to me. And if you want to, you can even ask me if there are areas in your life that are only partially healed. And in my gentleness, my spirit will show you things one at a time, because I am in the business of providing ongoing healing for everybody. It's not just a few people, it's for everybody. And if you want to experience more healing, just ask me. I'll show you, we'll do it, and you'll have that much more wisdom that you can minister to others. Amen?
Amen. Thank you.
Can you relate to any of that?
Yeah, no, I'm just sad because I thought I was healed. But I guess there's more.
Well, I think the reason he said it that way is nobody was perfect but Jesus.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you're called to influence other people, there are going to be times when they do you wrong or accuse you or misunderstand you and things, and you may not know that you have some unhealed areas until they, like, embarrass you in public or crucify you in front of the church or something, you know. You don't know how unhealed you are, and we don't want to learn the hard way, and we don't want to learn in public, but we can ask God, is there anything else in me that you want to heal?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And I suggest, I'll say this for everybody, not just Audrey, but I suggest that you make a list of all the people that you may have judged for something and make just a short phrase list, you know, of all the things that you may have judged them about, and just go ahead and confess it. Ask God to forgive you for judging people, even if they're guilty. You know, they did do you wrong. They did lie on you or whatever. Go ahead and confess those things, and then God can show you if there's anything still left to do. Okay?
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And thank I'm glad you. That you feel like you're healed already. I find that that a lot of people are like 80% healed, and they don't even know that there's still a little more healing to be done until they're in a really hard situation. Then they find out, oh, I'm still having trouble trusting God. Oh, no. Oh, no, but she's glad to help us. Amen. I hope you have a great night.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Go ahead. God bless. Bye.
Okay. All right. I was going to let you say something else. You had something else. All right. She's gone. Thank you, Lord. I think that is just God's heart for all of us. He wants us all to be totally healed. And sometimes we wonder why he hasn't enlarged our territory or our sphere of influence or promoted us more than he has. But sometimes we just need to ask him, is there any other area where I need more healing and freedom before you do? You know, and sometimes that's it. He's just so gentle. He's waiting on us to say, okay, we're willing to do a little bit more boot camp. What is it you want to do in my life? So, all right. Praise you, Jesus. We just thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You always have our best interest at heart. And you always come to us with healing and freedom. Amen. Area code 316, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Stephen.
Stephen, okay. Did yes, you ma'am. Have a comment or question to ask about the teaching?
Yes, ma'am. I had one comment and also a question.
All right. Go for it.
Okay. My comment was with our Lord gave me some understanding as far as ministering to people.
Mm-hmm.
A while back, you know, in my beginnings in giving my life to, you know, to Christ, he spoke to me and said to be calm. And that kind of like, you know, was interesting to me because, I mean, you know, everyone that knows me knows I'm a laid back person. So, you know, I really dialed in, you know, due to it was a word that I received from my father. And he later expanded on what he meant by be calm.
Okay.
And he had led to a Bible study that I had attended, and it expanded on this scripture. It said, a man of understanding spares his words and is of calm spirit.
Mm-hmm.
As well as they
that?
Touched on this. I don't exactly remember. I think it's in Psalms, I believe.
All right.
I think it's in Psalms. And then the another one that they touched on, which expanded on a little more, was a wise man is a man who is slow to speak but quick to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, the Lord has spoken to me, basically giving me more understanding as to what he meant by be calm was, which if you're calm, you're more susceptible to listen to me in a situation or out of a situation.
Okay.
And in that, I was able to foresee that it's not necessarily me that is sharing with persons who are coming to ask about the ask about, you know, God or voicing their problems. In response to that, how he opened up those scriptures, I came into the understanding that it was more so me listening to them and also listening to what God would say into the situation
to
resolve
the
problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
At the same time, and for those that didn't quite get that, if you'll just hold one hand up like to heaven and the other hand stretched out toward the imaginary person there, this is how I picture listening, just what Stephen said. I'm listening to them intently, giving them my focused attention, but at the same time, I'm listening to God to see what he adds to what they're saying, you know. Very good. And Stephen, I just couldn't agree more, because God uses natural things to prepare us all. In my case, I was an intensive care and coronary care nurse for a few years. And, you know, when somebody's heart stops and they're right in front of you, and they don't even know their heart stopped yet because their eyes are still open, they're still talking. But you can see on the monitor their heart has stopped. Number one is to stay calm.
Wow.
You know, I can't have a breakdown right there. I've got to stay calm and do what I need to do for them, you know.
Wow.
But it's the same thing with a crisis emotionally or, you know, any other way, is to stay calm and listen to God, because he's always got it under control. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And did you have a question too, you say?
Yes, ma'am. My question was, I attend Southern University at New Orleans, and I was in the cafeteria a while back, you know, with ministering to a friend. She had came, you know, to ask about things of the Lord, and just, you know, being transparent and open to share. After me and her had a conversation, there was an older lady that walked in the cafeteria, and she sat directly across from us, but she didn't hear the conversation that we had. And the interesting part about it was she sat down and she began to talk to us, pretty much saying the same things that we had just shared in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And me and the girl were kind of amazed, like, wow. She's literally talking about everything that we just discussed. And she then turned her attention to this girl, which I'm pretty cool, you know, she's a good friend. She turned to the girl and said, "Don't settle for any wooden nickels." She said, right. She said, "That's usually how it happens. You have a friend that is a good man of God, that then he goes from that friend to being your husband." And she said, "That is your husband." And me and her were just looking at each other, kind of shocked at what was coming out of her mouth.
Now, wait a minute. A complete stranger is telling her that you are her future husband?
About, yes, ma'am. This girl that I was sitting in the cafeteria speaking to. And we didn't know this.
And the question? And the question you have?
Prayer by the Spirit to get some understanding as to the accuracy of what she said, or if at all there is any accuracy in there.
Well, I've got my impression from the Lord. Now, let me ask you, though. I've got to practice what I just taught. Was your impression that you had a total witness to this, or do you still have questions about
it? Excuse me, say that again.
I'm asking you for your first impression. Did you totally witness to what she said, that you're the future husband, or do you are you still asking God if that was God?
I'm asking the Lord if that was him.
Okay, well, here's my general guideline, and then we'll see what God has more specifically. How about that? My general guideline is, one, I have several on this one. This is huge. I'm glad you brought it up. One, I don't just jump into people's lives like that, even when I'm absolutely sure that God has given me this whole journal of their history. I don't just dive into somebody else's conversation. I don't offer much information unless I'm asked to. I definitely don't unless I'm given permission. And I do not, just because I'm not trying to limit God at all, because this is the way God has taught me, and many others would agree with this, I do not prophesy on five particular areas unless I get handwriting on the wall. One of them is marriage, that somebody's going to have a baby. Certainly not that they're going to die. I don't prophesy geographical moves, like you're going to quit your job and leave here and go to Oregon, you know. And I don't prophesy an office call unless, excuse me, I am very, very, very sure. Now, I might prophesy to someone that you have an apostolic anointing, but if I'm not in their chain of authority, if I have not gotten clearance from their chain of authority, I'm not going to prophesy to somebody, oh, you're not just prophetic, you are a prophet, unless I'm very, very sure, because that could steer that person wrong and they'd be on the wrong track the rest of their life.
Yes, ma'am.
And if I prophesied marriage, for instance, if that lady had not said that you are the one, if she had said, oh, I see who you're going to marry, and he's tall with dark skin and dark curly hair, and he's this, that, and the other, she's going to wear herself out looking for somebody of that description.
Yes, ma'am.
It's just best not to prophesy to those areas unless, and I'm totally into, and I believe it's God, he's taught me on those huge areas,
yes, ma'am,
to run it by their spiritual authority first.
Yes, ma'am.
And, we're not really limiting the Holy Spirit. We're just submitting to the chain of authority he has set up. And so I personally would probably never do what that lady did. I'm not condemning her. But if you also did not get a witness to it, if you've not had two or three confirmations, I would forget about it.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
And the problem is, can the young lady forget about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope she can if it wasn't God, you know?
Definitely. I mean, presumably, just by the conversation and just from knowing her as well. You know, she's new to the faith, in a sense, so... You know, those things are of dire importance for someone to, in a sense, maybe speaking out of sorts.
Well, I think my safeguards are these, and other people in different situations, and God may lead them differently. But when it comes down to giving counsel or something that comes anywhere near giving advice, I have these safeguards in place.
Right.
I have a application that people fill out, and they sign it in three places, giving me permission to speak into their life. And in the course of filling out that application, they have told me what their problem areas are, their major issues, and what they want ministry for. This is very important, because I don't want anybody committing suicide, for instance, because I told them you've got these 10 diagnoses, you know, and they think their life is over. You know, I want people to tell me how much they know that they need help with right now. And if you say, well, I don't ever do real counseling and I don't have an application and all that, I would say at the very least, always ask people. You can tell them, I think that I'm hearing something from God for you. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, ma'am.
And I think it's humble, not doubtful, but humble to tell them, I want you to run this by your leadership and ask them to speak on it as well.
Wow.
You know why?
Why is that?
Well, first of all, I try not to ever prophesy unless it's being recorded. I own a little tiny recorder about twice as big as your thumb, and I have other ways like this radio program. I try to always be accountable for what I'm saying God's saying. But also, people can totally interpret even a recorded word the way they want to instead of the way God meant it.
Yes, ma'am.
For instance, if someone doesn't give any time period on a prophecy and they say you're going to make it big and millions are going to pass through your hands and you're going to be able to fund all these things, they may not hear it the way it was said or meant. They may hear that millions are going to pass into your hands, like you get to keep it, instead of millions are going to pass through your hands. And the poor thing may go out and quit their job just waiting for God to drop millions of dollars on them through the mail.
Right.
And so it's important to present personal prophecy in the you know, the way God wants it delivered with God's heart. And if he includes any timing, to be careful about how you describe the timing, but also let people know they need to go back, just like people tonight need to go back to this recorded program. You can note that your prophecy is going to come at about 12 after the hour. Make note of that so that you can go back and use that play and pause button to write out every single word out of it. Because like the example I just gave, it's kind of a worn-out example, but if God prophesies to you that millions are going to come through your hands and you heard it as to your hands, it's two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
And say that woman had prophesied to your lady friend that the Lord says, I know that you need a husband and I'm providing, you know, that husband and all this, but she didn't really, really say it was you, but the lady wanted to hear it that way, then we still have a problem.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Anything else?
I would ask, because I had almost forgot about this, I had been asked by my school to fill a chaplain position through this organization called Men's Federation. And the purpose of the organization is to secure and inspire conscious development of young men. And they offered me to be a co-founder as well as a chaplain of the organization. And I also wanted to ask for prayer, you know, general prayer on top of that, by the Spirit.
Okay. So, well, don't tell me anything else because it's easier for me to hear God if I don't know anything. Well, Father, we just thank you for Stephen. We thank you for the opportunities that are coming his way and that people are recognizing what he has to give. And I just pray right now for him to have clarity of vision, to know clearly and with certainty what your vision for him is, what your calling is, what his destiny includes and what it does not. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving him certainty and confirmation, at least two or three confirmations, of whether this particular open door is part of your calling or even your training for him, or whether he should just wait. And the Lord says that, Stephen, I am training you to know when to go and when to stop. And you'll have several situations like this where you have opportunities and you're not sure if it's of me or not. And just as a good cow pony is trained to go, as the rider, you know, throws out that lasso to lasso the calf, but it's also equally as important for that cow pony to stop on a dime so that the rider can jump off and tie the three legs of the calf or whatever they have to do, you know, to win the rodeo.
Yeah.
And the Lord says it is just as important to know when I'm saying go and when I'm saying don't go. And I have you in my training school, and I will bring more clarity of your purposes in my kingdom. And you will know what season I am bringing you into and what things to bypass. And the discipline that I'm putting in you is that you will always listen. And here's the key right here, Stephen, I hear it. It's that you are to ask me, the Lord says, over everything, is this part of my assignment?
Yes, ma'am.
Is this part of my assignment from you? Because it may be a good thing. It may be a good opportunity. It may pay better than something else. It may make you more comfortable because it fits with what you're experienced at what you're doing. But the Lord says, those aren't the deciding factors. I want you to always ask me, is this part of my assignment? And then wait for a green light.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't go ahead on caution. Don't say, if it's not red, I'll go. wait for a green light, okay?
Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Okay. I've had people, you know, that were had great intentions, other people that could hear God pretty well, offer me things that it wasn't God's plan for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be tied down doing that to this day if I had said yes just because it was security, it was a good opportunity, but it wasn't God.
Wow.
So I'm not trying to make this decision for you. I'm saying all I'm hearing is the discipline that you have to have to stay on track is to always ask God. And it doesn't matter if you are the most experienced, talented, gifted one in the room at that. That still doesn't necessarily mean that God is choosing you for the job.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and likewise, you may be the least experienced, least trained, and he might still choose you.
Yes, ma'am.
So the important thing is to ask, is this my assignment?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for calling in. Good point.
Yes, thank
glad you.
You
shared.
Oh, thank Wonderful. You. Well, no
now,
problem.
I want everybody to just say a prayer for Stephen tonight, that he will wait on God's confirmations and that the confirmations will be clearly yes or no. Okay?
Amen.
All right. Bless you, Stephen. I hope you join us again sometime.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
All right. Good night. Wow. God, we thank you that you do have a heart to make it clear that you aren't holding your will and your direction in a clenched fist behind your back. I thank you that we can enter into your rest and know that you will tell us when it's the right time to know, that you're mindful of our questions, that we don't have to ask them 1,000 times, that as long as we're surrendered to your will, we can trust you to do your part, which is to give us direction in time. I thank you that you've never, ever been late for anything, and that you will confirm your will by 2 or 3 witnesses, and that we won't have to just try to figure it out or do it by circumstances, that you will let us know in the most amazing ways. Thank you, Lord. All right. I want you to invite a friend to call in. That would be 917-388-4683. It's just one more way to reach out to a hungry world is to invite them to call in or to listen to the download later. It'll be available within 30 minutes after the program. I want to encourage some of you, too. Most of the people that have listened have never, ever sent a donation. I just want to encourage you, if you benefit from this program, to send in a donation. You can go to our website at crosswalklife.com and look at the bottom of any page, and you'll see a donate button. And it'll take you to a page that says how you can donate once using your credit card or PayPal, or you can even make an ongoing donation. This program actually has about 2 people that donate every month, and we need more than that, okay? And so I really encourage you, if God says that you are benefiting from this, and if you say, yeah, I definitely want to keep listening and partner with them, that you will donate because we need it. We need it. We are not rich people. Our home ministry training school at nowfaith.tv is for free for everybody, and we are completely dependent on you hearing God when he says, give to this ministry, okay? And it's so hard for me to ask for that. I don't think I've asked that in, like, months. So I hope you will hear God if he's saying, oh, you can set up this to give monthly or something. All right, let's take another caller. Let's see. Area code 310, welcome to the program. Area code 310, are you there?
Patricia. Yes, it's Patricia in Los Angeles.
Oh, Patricia, welcome. How are you tonight?
Well, wonderful. And in listening, I just had one comment, And I suppose each of us has different personalities. So where we might be too bold or not bold enough, some of that might depend on our personality.
Right.
And I think for me, only in one case, I felt that God just kept telling me the same thing over and over, that I needed to ask a question, simply just ask a question of a particular person, and kept convicting me of that. But I just wasn't comfortable with that. And I think sometimes really listening and knowing if you're supposed to bring something up as we start out, you know, to listen when God really says to speak.
It helps also, sometimes when he says it over and over, and then you're more sure that you're not just imagining it. Yeah,
yeah, and it isn't, and it comes in that quiet voice, and it's not,
right,
you know, giving a, you this or if you don't that, just something about a thought, to bring someone to thought. And also I think when someone receives prophetic counseling, I think the person also has a responsibility, if they feel that there is something more, to speak up. And there may be more, and the prophetic counselor may know that that is not the time, but they would know what to say.
Very
but
good.
It's important to speak up, because then maybe the Lord might say, well, it's the time to give them a little more, to say, well, maybe other things, but focus in this area now. And, it, you know, it's a process, or, you know, it's God's timing. Things will be revealed. But it's two-way a process, too, for the person to, I think, receive the most in God's timing. So the person receiving counseling should kind of be, should be praying and listening to God too.
I am so glad you're bringing that up, because I did fail to mention that, and I think I have a quick example I can share, because this person's passed away. There's no, they don't live in this state or anything. There's no way anybody will figure it out. But neither one of us, the receiver or me, neither one of us knew what was missing, but we both sensed that there was something we haven't covered yet. So we weren't trying to be introspective, but we just sensed from the Lord there's something yet to be healed. And so we stopped and prayed and asked God together, what else is there? And she didn't get anything, but I got a little quick picture in my mind of a duck who had an egg inside, and the skin was so thin on this duck that the egg was about to fall out and be lost prematurely. And I said, you know, this may not make any sense, but this is what I'm getting. And she said, that's it. I thought, it is? A duck? And she said, I forgot to tell you that I was almost aborted. And she really had forgotten it. And
oh,
so thank you, Patricia, for bringing that up. Sometimes neither one of you know what's missing, but you know something is, and you can ask God together. That's ideal. I forgot to mention that. That it could go ideally like that. Oh, anything else?
Well, that's all that came to mind.
Okay.
You know, and thinking of different things in this area. And then I guess I've always, you know, curious, does God have a word for me?
All right. Well, I'm asking him too. Father, I thank you, because I know you always, always a talking God, and there's not anybody you won't talk to, so that's why I'm always so confident that you will. And I've got a word, but I'm not sure how it's interpreted. So here goes anyway. I hear the Lord saying, oh,
I want the second sentence before I give the first one, but he also doesn't do that. I'm going to change your diet. So now I'm asking God, is that literal or is that symbolic? And the Lord says that you've received a lot of nutrition from certain people, and you've been grateful, and, you know, it was good. In other cases, you had to take the meat and spit out the bones. But the Lord says, I'm bringing along new sources of nutrition for you. I'm nurturing you. I'm connecting you with people that will have just the right nutrition for you. The Lord says, you're feeding upon my word. You're taking in all you can. But the Lord says, just have your eyes and ears open, because I am in the process of bringing you more sources. And for this season, there'll be better sources than what you've had. And it's going to be really good, because there have been times when you thought, boy, I could starve to death here, you know, or, you know, you're just thirsting and thirsting for my, to know me and for my word and my insights. And the Lord says, I am bringing it. I've heard the cries of your heart, and I am bringing and setting a rich, rich table for you, full of what you need, and you won't be hungry and thirsty in a bad way. You're going to know that I will never let you go thirsty or hungry, that I will be your source. I will be everything you need. I will always satisfy you. And that's the key, that Patricia, the Lord says, you can be completely satisfied in me, and I will see to it, and I know that you will do your part. Just keep hungering and thirsting, but now have that expectation that I'm bringing new sources for you as well, and it's going to be really rich.
Well, thank you. And I will do as you say and go back and listen and write it down word for word.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
I have a whole notebook about an inch thick of things that I've written down. Thank you, Lord. Well, thanks for calling. I hope you let us know. Send us a testimony and let us know what God does.
I will.
Amen. Have a good night. Yeah.
All right. Night.
Good night. Whew. Guess I better move a little bit faster. We only have about 25 more minutes. But I just have to stop and thank you, Lord. Just thank you for these insights. Thank you for the most of the time how it does go well in the easy way, and we are hearing God together, and we're both just so amazed when we listen to your voice, how you make things clear and you make it easy, and most of all that your anointing breaks every yoke and you do all the work, Lord. You just basically tell me the right questions to ask and you do all the work, and I just thank you, Jesus. I just thank you. Area code 727, you're on live on Crosswalk Talk. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carla, it's LaTasia. How are you?
It's who?
LaTasia.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Glad you're with us tonight. Did you have something to comment or a question to ask?
I have a question. You were talking about hearing from God when you're prophesying to someone who has an issue, but what if you're the one with the issue? And, you know, a lot of times, like, I feel like when I am speaking to into someone's life, it's pretty much the same issue that I'm dealing with. And so, like, sometimes I even feel like, you know, like, why am I ministering to this person about this same issue that I have? You know.
So glad you mentioned that, because number one, I think if people can't relate to that in any other way, they might relate to it in the area of physical healing. See, I've been healed of 24 things, but then I never have another huge thing in my bones that needs healing.
And the devil would tell me, I can't pray for someone else to be healed until I'm totally healed. It's a lie.
Right.
It's a lie. Secondly, many times, because I'm not all tall and finished myself, when I'm praying for somebody else, I need the same thing too. And they not know it until I'm actually praying for them, and then God says, that'll work for you too, Carla. We're all pretty much alike, and we experience similar things in varying degrees at different times. But, you know, it's like you may be teaching something to somebody else, and then God slips in a few points that you didn't know yourself, and you think, boy, that's really good. That was God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what I mean, because I've gotten that a few times, and even while I'm ministering to that person, sometimes that spirit of, like, I don't know, maybe condemnation will come up, like, I'm not good enough to be talking to this person. You're like, almost like I'm a hypocrite, you know, and I'm telling him about how good God is, but I'm still struggling with my trust issues with him, you know. Oh.
Those are very good points. Very good points. Well, you know, I'd say two or three things to that, too. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's not the super Christians and the not super, you know, we're all nothing without Christ. And we're all, the Bible says, just earthen vessels. And I put in my devotional series on crosswalklife.com. If you look up devotions, I've got about 12 devotions on there, and they're all based on this truth that you're highlighting, that we're all just containers of Him. All we can do is pour out Him, pour out what He's saying, do what the Father says to do. None of us have all these answers in ourselves. And if we do know some smart things, we probably, you know, we might say it at the wrong time to the wrong person. So all we can really do is pour out that living water that springs up inside of us and trust God that He will say the right things through us.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Thank you. A whole lot of the time when I'm talking, I don't know what I'm talking about because He hasn't given me but a glimpse of their background. I don't really know how it applies. And you know, most of the time when I'm prophesying, I really don't know how it fits into your life. That's why I ask people, do you relate to that? Because I'm interested to know. You know, how did that apply?
Right.
But we're definitely not hypocrites.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you can finish.
We're definitely not hypocrites if we're not waiting till we're perfect before we minister, because that's never going to happen. We're never going to be perfect at anything separate from Christ, and even with Christ, the best we can do is release Him to live through us. And if we're constantly, to me, if we're looking to see if we're perfect in that area before we minister to somebody else, that's just pride, because I'm never going to be perfect. Now, I know there is a theology out there that says that we do arrive at perfection in this life. I just don't happen to agree with it. I think we've all got room to grow.
Amen. That's true. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Any questions or anything?
Hello?
Did you have any other comment or question?
Well, I don't have any more questions, but I do want to thank you for that. But I did want to know if you can pray for me because I recently joined a church, and I came from a church where I was singing and I was almost like one of the worship leaders, and now I'm in a choir, and I kind of feel, you know, and like you mentioned about pride, so that I kind of already know the answer to it, and I kind of feel like I don't want to be in the choir. I want the mic. I want to sing.
Oh,
you know. So
honored. you know, you're just more honest than a lot of people. because
honestly, we all go through stages
where we want the mic. Even the people that are afraid to talk in front of people, they might be thinking, but I have something to say, you know. Listen, but I'll tell you this. If you watch videos of Catherine Coleman, you'll see that she almost never lets go of that microphone. There's a reason. A wise leader on the platform either knows that person, knows they can trust them not to take it into a 10-minute ordeal, you know, or they'll just hold on to the mic so they can keep it interactive and that person won't make it their service. And that's why I'm rude enough to tell people, you know, you can share a comment or a question, but, you know, try to keep it under a couple minutes because we can, you know, some people just start telling their life story and going back to birth, and that's not fair to all the other listeners.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
That's a counseling session. We're not doing counseling here.
Yeah.
Father,
no,
Go ahead.
No, you're doing it. I said I really just want prayer, so.
Okay. Is it Latasia or Latasia?
It's Latasia.
Latasia. Okay, I wrote it down wrong. Father, I just thank you for Latasia. I thank you for her honesty because I know you can work with that. I thank you that you promote the humble. And I just pray, I'm already hearing this happening. The Lord says I can work with that humility because I want to impart through you to others that the man that will, or the woman that will humble themselves before me can quickly access my healing and my freedom. And the Lord says, I want to use that transparency and openness and honesty that you have. I want to multiply it, increase your strength in it, because I want to combine that, the Lord says, with you being able to impart to people a gift of faith, faith that the Christian life does work and that with prayer that they can be free of what's holding them back and that they can really be victorious. They can really be overcomers. They can really be healed and free. But the Lord says I also want to combine that with the ability to impart trust. And that's like the root of all root issues. But people have few models these days to teach them how to trust me, the Lord says, and it just grieves my heart. And I know they've been hurt, and I know they've been taught lies and legalism and performance and everything. But the Lord says, as you humble yourself before me, then people, I want to give them an impartation through you that it works to be humble before me and that I'm approachable and I'm available to them and I died so they could be humble and free and healed. But the Lord says, I'll work through you and your hands to impart to them the ability to trust me that if they will pour their heart out to me, that I will be there to heal them. Whatever I reveal, I will also heal. And the Lord says, but that begins with a humility that enables them to be open and transparent before me. Because when Adam and Eve hid from me, they didn't receive the healing as quickly. The forgiveness as quickly when they're hiding. And the Lord says, there'll be many that I'll bring across your path that are still think they're keeping secrets, they still think they can hide from me, and I'm just waiting for them to say, oh Lord God, teach me how to trust you, teach me how to keep my heart open to you. And the Lord says, Latasia, as you hold your heart open to me more and more and more, there'll be an impartation of that that comes through you to others, and they will know how to hold their heart open to me too. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
What do you do?
Humble myself.
What? You what?
Humble myself.
Oh, well, actually, I was just asking you, like, what do you do for a living or something?
Oh, what do I do as far as work?
Mm-hmm.
I am a nurse assistant.
Okay. All right, so you get to interact with people.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, humility works. I've just moved to a town where there's a lot of rich people, and I've usually never been around them that much. But I have been absolutely amazed at how humble some of them are. And I thought, you know, it doesn't matter who you are and what station of life you're in. Humility is attractive, and it works. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
well,
you.
I better move on. Got some more callers. I hope you have a wonderful time. Just a wonderful time. Please send us a testimony letting us know what God's doing.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
All right, I guess I better move along. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We all needed that. We all need that one. Area code 469, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing? It's Kanisha.
Kanisha, what's happening?
Not too much. Got some questions tonight.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, my first question is, should a person walk away after receiving a prophetic word? Should a person walk away without being clear on what the prophet just said? And or if they're feeling confused, should they walk away with that confusion going on
okay.
the inside?
Well, hopefully a spirit of confusion was not ministered. Hopefully that's not the case. They're just unclear. And I would say, in my experience, about 21 years now, around the prophetic world and ministry, that most of the time when I received a prophecy, I did not have an opportunity to ask any questions. And so I had to go to the Lord. I had to write it out. But I encourage people to write it out word for word, because as you do that, the revelation comes. It's kind of like with dreams. If you will wake up right then in the middle of the night, even though you don't want to, you know, turn on the light and get out your dream journal, if you will start writing it, more will come to you as you do. And I think prophecy is the same way. Clarity will come as you write it out. But then there's going to be lots of questions that you still have. How, who, what, when. And so many times God only gives us a word in part. And even if you were able to grill the person who ministered the prophecy, they probably wouldn't be able to answer most of those questions anyway. But it's like as you're walking out that prophecy, you will know, oh, this is bad. I'm here. It's happening now. This is it.
Okay. And the second question, something that I believe the Lord taught me, it's kind of you said this too, but I believe that if someone is speaking a prophetic word, 9 out of 10, it usually bears witness with your spirit. For me, it's almost as if God is, I can hear his voice saying, I was telling you that. I can hear myself saying, I knew the Lord was telling me that, or I kind of thought that he was saying that, but I wasn't sure. You know, is that true? Is that true that usually it bears witness with your spirit?
I can't speak for everybody every time, obviously. I'm not omniscient, but I would say in my case that usually I do get a witness to it, or I have a serious doubt about it. I can't say that I've had serious doubts about many, because I am careful who I let speak into my life.
Uh-huh.
But, for instance, I don't know if I want to give a specific example, but somebody that did not know my husband and I ministered to us that we would have a very specific ministry that neither one of us have ever done, ever wanted to do, and can't imagine us doing. And so in that case, even though I highly respect the person that gave it, I didn't get this feeling like, oh, God's about to change your whole life and this will come true. And I didn't know why he would prophesy that, and I don't know that he even has a track record of being wrong,
But to this day, when you brought up that example, that's the one I think of. But I'm open. You know, I just want to be open to the Lord, saying, I can't imagine that, but if you want to do it through us, you can do anything you want to through us. We are yours, Lord.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
Some people might be thinking, well, there's a whole lot of things I can't imagine doing. And, you know, but in this case, okay, I'll give a specific example. It's not that I'm afraid of counseling, for instance. If somebody prophesies to me that my husband and I are going to do marriage counseling, I'm going to say, what? Because we never counseled together. That's not his thing. He would tell you that readily. It's just something we've never thought about, been trained in doing together. You know, it's just, we just don't relate to it at all. However, we want to be submitted to the Lord, and if he wanted to bring that about supernaturally, fine, you know. Does that help any?
Oh, yeah. So would you say then that basically what you're saying, because even if, like, somebody would say to you about you and your husband ministering together, marriage counseling, then the key thing would be to go and take it to the Lord, right? To make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And some people, here's another thing that you didn't ask about, but I'll throw in for whoever God's saying this to. Some people come, say they're going to receive ministry from me or a prophetic team, and they come almost demanding from God that he say a certain thing, like, you're going to fix my husband, or you're going to release me in full-time ministry and I get to quit my horrible job, or you're going to make me rich, or whatever they want. They can come silently, almost demanding a certain prophecy from, and it can defile the minister. And the reason I know that is because the Bible, and I can't tell you where it is right now, the Bible speaks of a time when somebody wanted a prophecy so bad, God told the prophet, go ahead and give it to him. It wasn't his best, but he said, go ahead and give it to him. And I remember a specific case where a woman, I knew that the sole reason she was there for ministry, she wanted God to say he was going to fix her husband. And it was just almost defiling me. It was so strong. And I said, God, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to skip over that or address it? And he said, tell her that I have heard her and her prayers about her husband, but this is my word for her tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't address what he is going to do or not do in her husband's life. He didn't say, mind your own business. I mean, he just said, I heard your prayers, but this is the word that I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of gentle, but it let her know, I hear you, but I still have a word for you.
That's good. Can I ask for prayer for two things?
You want to tell me what it is?
Yeah. Well, you can speak whatever the Lord leads you to, but one thing is my health. I've been kind of struggling a little bit lately with my health.
Okay. Don't tell me anymore.
And
what else?
The second thing, this may sound weird, but I've been having an issue trusting some spiritual things.
No.
I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I don't know the natural, but I already see a connection. Kanisha, I just hear the Lord saying, I'm actually establishing an I-vow relationship with you, where we are so melted together like the bride and the groom, that the issues that I'm allowing to be a challenge to you right now, later you will be thankful for them, because you're going to know that I do know what I'm doing. I do know the areas that are difficult for you. And the Lord says, I am
so establishing our relationship where we're like melted together as one, by allowing these challenges, that you will know that you know that you know that you can trust me with anything. And the Lord says, I'm even challenging some of the theology that you've been taught about healing and things like that, because the Lord says, what's important to me and what's critical for you is that you want to know me first of all. And the healing is like a byproduct. And so the Lord says, it's not that I'm not faithful to fulfill my promises, and it's not that you are necessarily doing anything wrong, but the Lord says, I am building your faith muscles to the point where you will be able to trust me through anything. And it's not that I made you sick trying to teach you something. It's not that. But the Lord says, I am giving you a glimpse at your potential doubts or fears or questions about me. I'm offering you opportunity to come to me, and forevermore you will be steadfast and solid in your faith, because you will know that you know me because of these experiences, and you will know that I cannot fail you. And you will, here's the thing, you will want to know me even more than you want those things. Like Job said, even if you slay me, I'll still trust you, still serve you.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says, through this, you will not only know me, but you will know that knowing me is all you need. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to have to run because we've got only 9 more minutes. But I hope you'll send us a testimony to CWT at CWLINC.com. That stands for Crosswalk Talk at Crosswalk Life, Inc. CWT at CWLINC.com. I'm hoping that all of you will check us out at NowFaith.tv, too. We've got about 4.5 years of a video and audio ministry training school there. There is nothing same old about it. I guarantee you that you will receive insights that you'll wonder how you made it through life this far without it. Just give it a try. Area code 661, welcome to the program.
Yes, hallelujah, praise God. Yes,
what's your
my
name?
My name is Jermaine.
Jermaine, okay. Did you have a comment or question? We got to make them short now, but
I just want you to let the Spirit guide you is what they're saying to me, and what is my assignment. I'm just want to be encouraged by what God has to say for me tonight.
Thank you, Lord. This is kind of strange, but Jermaine, I hear the Lord saying that you're a man that does not want to be behind the curve. You don't want to be, missing it. You don't want to be left out. You want to be right there knowing what I'm doing, the Lord says. And you want to be able to do what I say do and say what I say say. And the Lord says, I hear that. And I've put a spirit of excellence in you, but not a spirit of competition or performance. And the Lord says, I'm bringing people across your path that will help you understand that better and better. You'll be able to discern it in yourself if performance for acceptance or some kind of competition rises up. Because the Lord says, I don't want you to even be tempted to want to excel from powers of any other source but me. You know, the Lord says, I put that spirit of excellence in you, but some people fall because they want to be too bad. Boy, there's a loud noise on the air. I don't know what that is. I maybe need to turn your computer speaker, mute them or something. You can hear this. So mute your computer. But the Lord says, I am giving you keen discernment.
And when
you'll receive it, you'll know that I am your source, that you don't need help from any devil, any natural source in discerning things, that I will be your source. And
You'll only call it success if I am your source. Because people can say things right, they can do things right, they can operate in the wonder of power, but if it's not my power, it's not a success.
So
I bring people across your path that you'll help be able to help them to discern. It's only a success if it's Christ through you. It's not a success if you have if you're operating out of divination or any motivation that's fleshly or things like that, that it's got to be of me and me doing it through you. And you'll be amazed at some of the people that I bring across your path that should know that, but in a moment of weakness or something, they don't. And you're going to be able to be there for them at just the right time to say, but what is the source? Who is the source? And to save them from falling, actually. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, I'm always, I want to listen to what God has to say and be obedient in his word. And I just want to be able to tap into the revelation also what God has. And, again, I've been building myself, edifying myself with tongue, but, you know, I haven't been able to receive, you know, anything from God, but I just use my faith and know that, you know, even in my natural, that God is still doing the most awesome thing for me. So.
Okay, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for keen discernment, for Jermaine, that he will know in everything he does and says, if the source is from the Holy Spirit or some other spirit, and it will save him from a world of trouble, and he'll be able to speak into other people's lives, even asking that question, but who is your source, and save them from a world of trouble too. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Have a great night. I'm going to rush on to try to squeeze in one more.
Thank
one more. You're welcome. You're welcome. Area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie. What's up?
Hi. I am multitasking and trying to get things done tonight. How are you?
I am good. And I just thank the Lord for how multifaceted he has made you.
Yes.
Amen.
I try.
Any comments or questions?
Well, I've been having several dreams, and you had posted on your website about the demonic king Agag, and the insight that you gave has given me understanding of what I've been dealing with several people in my life where they have there's strong rebellion that is going on and rejection. And I've been trying for years to figure out what's going on with them, and so it made so much sense to me. And particularly, I was thinking even today about my stepfather and the relationship, and how you can't really confront what is really going on in his life. Also, well, I'm dealing with my younger sister as well, and I know that I have to pray and war. But what I've been thinking is, you know, what is my relationship now with where they're at, and basically them not seeing and understanding, basically.
Okay, daughter, the Lord says, I have given you. I have commissioned you and inducted you into my army. You do have that supernatural power that I have flowing through you, but I want to put you at ease most of the time, too, like a soldier would be commanded at ease, you know, that when it's time to bomb the enemy's structure, just like you were a military fighter pilot or something, when it's time to bomb, I will be the one that's already got that target figured out, not people, but the devil structure. I will have the target figured out. I will
be able to clearly give you the longitude, latitude, or whatever they do. I will give you the timing. I will give you the equipment. I'll give you the ammunition itself. I'll have it all together.
Wow.
And all you have to do is have confidence that I've already given you this queenly anointing. I've already authorized you as part of my army. And all you have to do is come to attention when I say come to attention. And you know how to, how I've taught your fingers to fight and your hands to war. And you just agree with me at the precise time that I tell you, and I will do the work.
Amen. That's awesome.
And especially when it's family, just rest in me. Try to enjoy them. And try to know that your availability is all that I require. I look to and fro for those that will agree with me, and you certainly have. And that you just come to attention when I tell you, and you will know what your part is. And I take responsibility for ministering to them, and I'm always successful, and I'm always omniscient, you know, and all-powerful. And I promise you, daughter, I will do everything I can to bring them to a real knowledge of who I am. I will do everything I can short of absolutely force them, okay?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
So don't let the enemy tell you it's all on your shoulders, you know, the old sermons that people are dangling over hell and it's up to you to save them. Lord says, I take responsibility for their redemption, their transformation, and I will do it.
Amen. That is awesome.
Thank you.
I know.
Now,
when they,
yes. Go ahead.
Well, one night, you know, I was thinking about everything, and I just quoted the word, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment, and I just quoted that scripture, you know, just concerning everything that's going on, and I just felt a peace, and I didn't worry anymore, you know, about, you know, what's been going on. I know that the Lord loves them and loves me, and that I didn't have to fear, basically, that He, you know,
right. Exactly.
Has things under control.
We all have to do that, especially with our closest friends and family, because we can get so many ideas of what we could do, but it needs to be God speaking through us, or else we're just bothering them, you know?
Exactly.
So we just wait, and when it's time to bomb the enemy structure, He'll tell you who, what, when, where, and how.
Yes. That is awesome.
I say it that way just because it's the mindset, you know, and the training that He's already given you. Other people may not relate to bombing at all. But in your case, you know how to wield the sword of the Spirit and how to tear down strongholds, and the Lord will tell you when and if there's more you can do.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. That is awesome.
Shalom. Be at peace.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
We've got somebody in the chat room that asked if they can post a question, and it may or may not be recorded tonight, but you can post it if you do it right away. And for those of you that have called in, if you stay on the line, you'll be able to hear prophecy to one more person here or answer that question, whatever comes in first. And I can't control it. At some point, it's just going to cut us off. But have a good night, Valerie.
You too.
Thank you for your prayers. They're working. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Area code 732, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Area code 732, what's your name, please?
Oh, my name is Sister Helen, and I ran across your number on my spiritual son's Facebook page, Kurt Daigle.
Oh, yes, Prophet Kurt.
Yes.
Yeah. Helen, did you have a comment or question?
Just a prayer request to pray for me. I was involved in a car accident, and I, too, pray for people. but we all have, we all need prayer. So I was in a car accident, and I'm scheduled to have surgery the end of October, which I really don't want to do. So I just like for you to pray for me.
Well, May, that's dear to my heart, Helen, because I was healed of 24 things, but I still still believe for the manifestation of the healing for osteoporosis.
Yes.
And when they told me I was going to have surgery last May, I was going, no, healing first, you know. And in my case, I did have to have it, but there were so many opportunities to be a witness to other people, I can almost understand why. But I don't know in your case, you know, if that's necessary. And I'm always ready to believe God for creative miracles, for manifestations of the healings He's already promised. And I am always ready to believe, why not me? You know, why not
Amen.
You?
Amen.
And then I'll kind of back it up by saying, but God, if you have a purpose in it, you know, whatever.
Yes.
But I don't just pray, if it be thy will. I don't just pray that and that's all, because I really believe that Jehovah God, you are a healer.
Yes.
And that you are so, I mean, that's your name, to make us well and to make us whole. And we own our spiritual power and authority to command healing. I never see in the Bible, Lord, where Jesus begged you to heal anybody or asked you, Father, if it was your will. He just told them, stand up and walk or be healed. Or, you know, he may have asked them if they're willing to be healed, which sounds crazy, but he did. But we say that we release ministering angels to minister healing.
Yes.
We release, let's just let go of anything that might cause doubts or fear. Just let go of that. We renounce it or repent of it or whatever needs to be done. And we choose to believe that Jehovah Rapha, you are our healer. And we command this healing to manifest. We command creative miracles to even grow areas that have been damaged that need to be grown back or regenerated or whatever. And we say that our intent and our purpose, God, is to glorify you, because we will love and serve you no matter what.
Yes.
But I just joined together with Helen and all our listeners to command healing to manifest. We command our bodies to receive the healing. We command our minds to bow down to our spirits that would readily agree with the Holy Spirit. And where the mind might have doubts and the emotions may have fears, we just command you to bow down to our spirits that are joined together to be one spirit with Jesus and the
Holy Spirit.
And we come in agreement with you, Lord, for complete healing to manifest. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank
you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Looks
thank
like
you so
that's
much.
It as far as callers or requests tonight. Thank you for joining us, Helen. I hope you'll send us an email or post it on my Facebook and let us know what happens.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Praise God. I'm excited. Okay. Father, we just praise your name that you are always talking to us. You've always got something to say to us. And that there's never a problem on your end, that you're waiting for us to want to communicate. And I just pray that each of us will listen to you more. We'll listen, we'll receive what you've got to say. We'll be able to trust you. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're always for us, that you love us perfectly. We thank you, Lord, for your will and way and timing in our lives. And I pray that everyone listening here tonight will receive your word and your spoken word for them and your plans and purposes. And I pray that everyone listening tonight will ask you who's next and invite someone else
to either listen in next time or to go ahead and listen to the download and begin to let you build their faith that they can hear God too. We can all hear God and be His voice. Be Your voice, Lord. We just praise You, praise You, praise You, that You're a talking God. You always want to interact. You've always got our best interest at heart. Thank You, Lord.